Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. It's the show where the listeners basically are the owners of the show, and I'm the employee. And we have, of course, many guests of varying shapes, sizes, degrees, colours, shades, locations, beliefs, religions, etc. All over the place. Just because I have somebody on the show doesn't necessarily mean I agree with them. It means that somebody who listens to the show on a regular basis suggested that person come on, or a guest on the show has suggested them, or they want to come back on, or they've got new information or something like that. That is what the show is here for, as a platform for you, the listener, and you, the guests, to use to spread whatever messages you want. And I'm here just to make sure that it's fun. Okay? That's my function. That's my role. Please use me. Because believe me when I tell you, nobody else gives you that opportunity. I don't see that happening on any other show that I've ever seen before. And so, basically, I want to unite the truth movement by giving everything that I got to it. Okay? That's how dedicated I am. And whenever you speak in front of an audience like this, you know that you're in front of some of the smartest, luckiest, most awesomest people that have ever walked the earth. That is how much value I have on the truth movement, the truth community, and all the people in it. Even the douchebags who accuse me of being a reptilian and an Israeli spy. But my very special guests today, who are not douchebags or Israeli spies, allegedly, Barbara Hartwell and Janet Phelan. Ladies, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny.
Mm-mm. Now, Jenna, you contacted me before, said that you and Barbara had to come on because you had something very special to discuss. What is it?
Well, I really appreciate your giving us the airtime, because Barbara and I have been doing a series of shows on the Nazi infiltration of the Patriot Movement. We feel so strongly that there are sectors, and I'm certainly not indicting the entire Patriot Movement, not by a long shot, but there are sectors, there are elements within the Truth Movement, the Patriot Movement, the Freedom Movement, whatever sort of appellation you want to give to those of us who are trying to address the horrors in the world. But there are elements among us who appear to have a different agenda other than truth and love. So that's why Barbara and I have been doing these shows, and we are very grateful for the airtime here today.
You know what's interesting, because when you talk about Nazi infiltration of the truth movement, the first thing that comes to mind is that the what was it? There was a document that was released. I forget which one it was, but they listed people who were libertarians, Ron Paul supporters, or right-wing extremists, or anybody who's part of a militia or anything like that, and they classify them all as right-wing extremist Nazis. Which I find ironic, because Nazism isn't right-wing, it's left-wing. That's why they called it Nazi, National Socialism. Okay, people don't get that. Communism and fascism aren't right and left. They're both left, and they're both authoritarian. And the answer to all of this is actual real right-wing ideology, which is libertarian principles, people being restrained by the Constitution, for which the bloody Founding Fathers put in writing, so that people wouldn't forget. But conveniently now, with aspartame and the US education system dumbing everybody down, not only has everybody forgotten, but they also can't read very well either. And so now, fascism is flourishing in the United States. Is it not? And I think that is a very good idea to expose what's happening in the truth movement with regards to this. I'm actually really quite interested to hear what you've got to say on all of this, girls.
Well, you know, I would like to pipe in here just for one moment to address what you said. I think that the words you are using here, right, left, I think they have lost meaning in the last few years, given the political developments on the world stage. I don't believe they mean what those of us, you know, growing up in the 60s, 70s, whatever, thought they meant. There has been an obfuscation, and there has been a real takedown in terms of our language. I think that this right-left paradigm that people are so fiercely battling one side or the other is actually a false paradigm. And I think that the truth as to what we are dealing with and what we are facing as a world in terms of the oppression that's coming down is not well served by using this right-left paradigm. And that is my personal feeling about this. I wrote an article some time ago, several years ago, exploring the issue of the linguistic sort of deliberate obfuscations that are going on. And some of it actually, I think, does impact what we'll be discussing on the air today.
Yeah, this is very true. And for anybody who wants to know the difference between left wing and right wing, go. There's Bill Cooper Converts a Neo-Nazi on Air. It's an hour long interview, and he goes into explaining the history of it. This neo-Nazi calls up and he's talking about the Jews and the blacks and blah 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 blah. And after explaining what fascism and socialism and America is and the difference between them, he converted him in the space of an hour. And that's how powerful information and, in particular, understanding of things that you think you already know can be.
Agreed. So let us begin. Barbara and I first had the idea of doing these shows after an experience that I had on Republic Broadcasting Network. I was a guest on Mike Harris's show, and I was talking about corrupt courts and these adult guardianships and how basically the powers that be have developed a loophole by which they are robbing people of their rights and their property and a whole lot more simply by declaring people, alleging people to be incompetent. So we were talking about what's happening, these dreadful things that are happening in these court proceedings, and lo and behold, a caller called in and said, very earnest, well, you know, Ms. Phelan, that this is all the Jews. The Jews are doing all this. And I was rather surprised at such a sort of a blanket statement. I thought that that's just amazing. And I mentioned, well, you know, we've got judges who are Michael McCoy, James Michael Welch, Stephen Cunnison. None of them are Jews. And the person became very insistent. And lo and behold, the host chimed in agreeing with him. And I thought this was just amazing. So anyway, we went on with the show a little further. And then right at the end, another person called in and said, Janet Phelan, we know you're a Jew. And I said, well, my mother was Jewish, and that
did you does- go? Did you go to a synagogue? Do you celebrate Yom Kippur? You know.
Well, actually, not really. I actually was brought up extremely. My father was Irish Catholic. I was brought up like completely secular. I didn't even realize that I had a Jewish mother, which made me Jewish until I was well into middle school. It's just like it wasn't an issue in my household. But anyway, suddenly they said, "We know you're a Jew," and I agreed. I said, "Well, technically, hold on a second, please."
Yeah. Well, this is the funny thing about it.
There's some noise here, but I really want to make this point. Sorry, Vinny. So I said, yeah, well, you know, my mother's Jewish, and technically that makes me Jewish. And the caller said, oh, now you're denying it. Didn't listen to me. So at that point, I
love it.
Wow, somebody is so hyped up on steroids here, and he's got a Jew in his crosshairs, and it doesn't matter what she says because he's got her now. So. You know, basically, I was like amazed, and I thought, wow, this is indicative of something really weird. So Barbara and I did some talking about this and decided, that given that there is a lot of this sort of attitude, certainly on a lot of websites, there are a number of radio shows that seem to be endorsing this level of targeting and blame, that it was worthy to start talking about this on the air. So that's how the seed got planted for doing these shows.
Exactly. And let's not forget who was the first person and group of people to say that Jews were a race. Nazi Germany. Wasn't it? Because Jews are not a race. It's a religion. Are Catholics a race?
Well, see, that's an interesting thing that has troubled people. They've written about this for centuries now. You know, Jews are a race of people. They're a religion of people. They're neither. They're a culture. It's like, you know, certainly the Nazis considered Jews to be a race, and attempted essentially racial cleansing. But there are people now who are denying that the Holocaust happened, that anybody was actually intentionally murdered in Nazi Germany. So you have a whole spectrum now of people, you know, who are really rewriting history and doing so right now with an agenda in mind.
You know, Janet?
Yeah.
I think that right there, the fact that it happened a generation ago and people have forgotten now rewriting it, is the exact reason why humanity has never been more than one generation space apart from tyranny.
Wow, I think that's brilliant, Vinny. I think that's absolutely brilliant. And here we are again. And there certainly is tyranny. And the tyranny that we're facing now, I think, is even more serious than what happened in Soviet Russia or what happened in Nazi Germany, because the people in power have consolidated their power worldwide. And we're now not dealing with, like, you know, maybe an oppressive system over in this country, or, you know, a communist system here or a fascist system here. We're dealing with a worldwide movement. And this puts everyone in danger, because those in power have consolidated their power, have consolidated their weaponry, and it puts everyone now at risk. And this makes it even more important to be able to delineate who is the enemy, who is doing this, and who is at risk. And I do believe that the proliferation of hate speech that is going on now on the internet, on certain radio shows, does not service the truth.
Well, this has given rise to a lot of speculation that there are many paid agents and COINTELPRO individuals within the truth movement who are there specifically placed by FBI or whoever to misdirect and lead people down the garden path, as it were. Do you believe that to be true, that we have literal agents in the truth movement?
Well, I'd sure like to hear from Barbara about some of this, because I know that she's done a lot of research and so forth on this. Barbara, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. I was just, I'm just looking forward to talking about some scumbaggery. I love that word. The first time I heard it on your show, Vinny, it was last year when you had me on. I love that word.
I love it too.
That's what they're all about.
Mm-hmm. The actions, portents, and mindset of a scumbag. That's scumbaggery, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Janet was mentioning about the counterintelligence operations, or maybe you brought that up, Vinny. Oh, that's very true. It's absolutely true. One person who he died last year, but that was Ted Gunderson, and he was the FBI chief, COINTELPRO kingpin, as I call him. Now, this was somebody, I think I spoke about this on the other show, Vinny. I worked with Ted Gunderson for 3 years between 1997 and 2000. And I broke off my association with him when I discovered that, in fact, he was COINTELPRO, that he wasn't some kind of whistleblower hero, but a COINTELPRO agent, a double agent, in essence. And his major function, aside from creating chaos, basically, was to distribute propaganda. Now, he had an association from way back with a newspaper. It's called American Free Press. Have you heard of it, Vinny? Okay.
Jim Tucker's?
I'm not sure of the names. I know there's a couple of other names that are associated with this. But in any case, this American Free Press is, I call it Jew Hater Central. It evolved, or maybe devolved, from another publication called Spotlight. Mike Blair was running that. Well, Ted Gunderson was a longtime crony of Mike Blair, and he continued to be involved with this American Free Press until the day he died. He was actually on the board of directors, or CEO, or he had some official position with this newspaper. Now, I consider this to be a very dangerous newspaper. They advertise themselves as the last free newspaper in America. I hear the music.
Yeah, we hear the music. Isn't it funny how when you talk about the last free newspaper in America, you get cut off? Things are funny. All right, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, with Barbara Hartwell and Janet Phelan. Check us out at the Vinny Eastwood Show.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
And I wanted to mention something for those of you who listen on YouTube. When I got this new microphone, I didn't quite have all the gain, all the audio gain and all of that kind of stuff figured out. So some of the previous videos will have pretty horrendous audio, like mine's like way up here and my guest is like way down here. So I've tried to correct that today. Hopefully that will work fine for you. Technical issues. Never mind. Now, under FCC regulations, there are certain words that we're not allowed to say, and I can't even divulge and tell you what those words are because I'm forbidden from talking about them, right?
Which is great. National security words, right?
Yeah. Or
can't divulge them. They're too secret.
Or as I like to call it, irrational security. And fracking has become a very good, euphemism for the other F word. And they both involve hydraulics and pumping chemicals into stuff, but I think it's actually a lot more offensive than the latter. And speaking of offensive, this whole Jew-hating thing Yeah, and I know that I'll probably get a heck of a lot of abuse for even saying that very word. because I'm like, there's plenty of people out there who are perfectly reasonable, nice, caring, loving, and stuff like that. They want to expose the New World Order. They want to expose the Rothschilds and Rockefellers and all that kind of stuff. And they're fine. Cool, man. If you want to expose scumbaggery, if you want to prevent humanity's extermination, I'm on your side. However, if what you're doing is just walking around preaching hate particular whole groups of people, as opposed to individuals like Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, these Bilderberg group attendee members and stuff like that, if you ain't focusing your laser beam of truth at those motherfuckers, you're wasting your time. And you're destroying the potential of the truth movement to garner more support. Because what's going to happen is everybody from the truth movement who talks about the Rothschilds, and this happened at a protest in Auckland a couple of months ago, guy had a big sign that said, I'm going to overthrow the Rothschilds, and he was accused of being an anti-Semite. This COINTELPRO that we're talking about here has been extremely effective at protecting the elite. By anybody who criticizes them now gets accused of being an anti-Semite, and I believe that's because of these COINTELPRO people spreading that message, and it's gotten around.
Well, that's
really
exactly the point, Vinny. You're absolutely right.
So can you explain how that happens, Barbara?
Well, you know, first of all, in order to control people, they know that people will rise up in protest. I think most people, I really believe that most people in most countries around the world are probably just regular, decent people. They just want to live. They want to be free. They want to be happy. You know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I really do believe that. And I don't think it has any boundaries as to the race or religion or whatever it may be. But the scum rises to the top, unfortunately, like pond scum. So it filters down from the so-called chain of command, and they have to find a way to keep things under control, which is how we get, quote, controlled opposition. You know, controlled opposition is a major function of the COINTELPRO, because they know people will rise up in protest against evil, against scumbaggery, against any of this evil that is going on, the tyranny, the oppression. They will rise up. So they need a leader to follow, or a number of leaders to follow, so that they can be led along a certain path, so that, yeah, there's opposition. The people are going to believe, well, hopefully most of them won't, but many of them will. They will believe whatever the propaganda, the black propaganda that has been engineered and fabricated about any number of subjects. I hope that describes what I'm trying to...
It does, and when I think about the truth movement, I think of it's attempting... I think of its own accord, and maybe it's a biological thing, maybe it's a psychological thing, but the truth movement itself, in terms of mindset, is attempting to achieve some sort of balance. Now, I think that the spectrum of balance within the truth movement extends from the COINTELPRO Jew hater, etc., all the way over to the new agey type belief structures, where basically real and on both sides of these spectrums, real reality, like right here and now, you and me, doesn't exist. Perception rules on either end of those spectrums. What I want to have is right here in the middle, somewhere between the facts and opinion is the truth. And that's what I want to get to. And the difficulty is that if you try to go to the truth, you wind up pissing off both sides of the argument every time, because they've both got their self stuck in their belief structure, and they're not prepared to listen to the facts that are in the middle.
Well, that's exactly true, Vinny. And it's also a problem that I have found is that most of the people who are out there, I don't care who you are, like a Tea Party or some patriot group or whatever, most of the people don't have any real knowledge or experience of their own. So they're just listening to the pundits, you know, the pundits that are out there. They're listening to those people in order to form their opinions and viewpoints, and they are being indoctrinated. So they're not finding their own truth because they're really not looking. They're not digging and looking on their own. It takes time. It takes effort. And to some extent, it takes experience. And there are people who do have experience. There are many fine people who have come out of, say, intelligence agencies or who've just done research, journalists who've been at this for years or even decades, who have collected a body of information and have presented it in such a way that anybody that looks can see it to be factual and they can corroborate it from other sources. That's a key. You know, you have to be able to have multiple corroborating sources in order, for me at least, to know that something has the possibility of being true.
And by multiple, you mean three or more. And that's the basic journalistic principle whenever you want to confirm a story before you go to air with it or before you publish it. The story and the facts within it have to be corroborated by three separate sources that have nothing to do with each other in order to publish it, because otherwise you can get sued and things like that for publishing things that aren't true, or you can lose your journalistic credibility. What I find now is because, and you made a very important point there, Barbara, because people don't have the experience to discern for themselves. You know, like I've been in the truth movement for like, what, four years-ish, and I've been to 100 protests, interviewed 300-plus activists and patriots from all over the world. I could say that I've got a heck of a lot more discernment for somebody who just only listens to me or just watches the things that I do, for example, because I was actually there. I feel it. I know it. I can do it. And what happens, I feel, is people begin to think that their knowledge is real because they've seen it. And I think that knowledge is only real if you're really there, right? And well, people yes. do need to, as you said, and quite rightly so, do their own research. Like this is part, listening to this radio show, if you're listening right now, is part of your research. It is not the be-all and end-all. And the reason why that's so important is because people naturally want to be led. Okay, we need leaders. We often do. We look at our presidents and all of these different authority figures from very early on in life. And I think it might be an imprint from parents, perhaps. I'm not sure why, but we have that natural yearning to have a chieftain, an elder, a shaman, or something of that nature. We've always had that structure. But what happened was that those people that were in a position of trust, who ordinarily spent their lives trying to help others by informing them, by giving them and sharing some of their experience, instead they used that knowledge, which is very powerful, and they kept it to themselves so that they can use it to manipulate the ignorant masses. And that is the scary thing, because it comes down to me for the concept of the Judas goat. Have you guys ever heard of a Judas goat?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've been called a Judas goat, Vinny, by all the people who say I'm a CIA disinformation agent. And, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and for those who are listening who don't know what a Judas goat is, it's a Moroccan goat farming practice or whatever. They have goat farmers there, and they train one goat. Okay, they pamper it especially, you know, they groom it more than the other goats, they give it better food, and they train it and everything like that to follow commands. And what happens is all the other goats, they see this one as their leader, and they follow him around, they kind of thing. So what you do is when it's time for your harvest or your slaughter, you instruct your Judas goat to go into a pen, and all the other goats will follow him in there, and then you instruct your Judas goat to come out of the pen, and you close the door behind him, and all of those goats there are dead. Okay? That's what a Judas goat is. And when you think about Judas goats in the truth movement, the implications are very, very similar, because if you do follow people and you don't know what's going on, you're dead.
Well, Vinny, you know what?
I think that I just want to say something. Sorry, Barbara. I just wanted to say that I think what we're seeing in terms of the truth movement and controlled opposition is exactly that. And that's why, you know, Barbara and I have felt really impelled to do this show and to discuss how this does relate to all this Jew bashing going on. I'm sorry to interrupt, Barbara. Please go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say that after what Vinny explained about himself, a really important point is dedication. In order to learn something, in order to know the truth, to find the truth, you first have to have a love of the truth. And if you don't have a love of the truth, you will not be dedicated to finding the truth. If you think you're just going to listen to something, Alex Jones or any number of other of these people, Jeff Rentz or somebody, oh, that person has the truth. Well, no, they don't. They may have pieces of the truth, and there's propaganda being spewed among the morsels of truth. But if you don't have dedication, if you don't take the time and effort and focus yourself that I'm going to find the truth no matter what it takes, you won't find the truth.
One of the things that has become very clear to me in the last couple of weeks as Barbara and I have been doing more of these shows is that well, people have been getting very upset at me. I have people writing me, calling me a Zionist. I have people got an email the other day from someone who I thought was a, you know, fairly bright and interesting woman who's saying that she thinks Barbara and I are now running a COINTELPRO operation because of the sorts of things we are saying about this Jew bashing going on. I'm not sure how long we have until break, but I'd really like to kind of get down to us to the nitty gritty of some of this. Do you know? Are we getting close to break, Vinny, or is it? Do you know? No.
About 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, one of the issues, you know, when you start talking about Jew bashing, you know, it brings up the specter of this word Zionist. And, you know, people are now attributing all of the evils in the world to the quote-unquote Zionists. And I want to state, before I get into, you know, deconstructing these words and what Zionists, what these really mean, I'd like to make sure that I make myself absolutely clear here. I am not a supporter of the State of Israel. I am not a supporter of the policies of the State of Israel. In fact, I believe that the policies of the State of Israel are absolutely detrimental to all of those residing within the borders of Israel, the Palestinians and the Jews. That is my stance. So those who are accusing me now of being a Zionist shill, I hope that this lays this to rest, because I believe that the issue is a little bit more complex than what it appears to be on the surface. And
this is the thing. You're trying to explain things, and they simply won't believe you. So I think what the point is that you can just tell the truth. For those who want to research, they can go and do that, and they can have a look at your previous works, and it'll all become pretty self-evident that you've been consistent the whole way through. But there are those who refuse to listen, refuse to look, refuse to research because they have a preconceived notion, and that's very, very dangerous. So if you've been listening to the show at all and you feel that the people you disagree with or you're really angry with them or something like that, do what I do. Just keep listening to those people you think you don't agree with, and eventually you'll either A, start agreeing with them, or B, know exactly what they're lying about. You listen to The Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there as well. Back in a few minutes. Lord, explosions can be.
and all the eclectic Zionism with all the Jew bashing and COINTELPRO.
It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the most operatic 2 hours in talk radio. Operatic means it's opera, but it's sung in an attic. My very special guests are Janet Phelan and Barbara Hartwell. And definitions. This is something that Mark Passio taught me to be very, very important. Know the definitions of the words that you use, okay? For example, I was talking to my girlfriend one time and she had this this really good idea for a different flavor of cake or something. I forget what she was talking about now, but I said, hey, that sounds like a very novel idea. And she got really angry with me because she thought novel means stupid or whimsy or something like that, where in actual fact it means it's something amazing and quite new and quite unique. And I told her, just Google the mess and Google it, okay? And once she knew what the word actually meant, her understanding developed. And it's the same thing when you talk about things like the word Jew, the word Zionist, the word Ashkenazi, for example. What's the difference between those three? Well, a Jew is a practicing Jew, somebody who reads the Torah, wears a little hat, goes to synagogue, has a bar mitzvah and celebrates Yom Kippur and what have you. That's a religion. A Zionist, and Zionism is a political belief, much like fascism. In fact, they tried to, the founders of Zionism, the belief structure, the Theodor Herzl and all of these other people, were very much in line with Hitler's type of thinking. About racial purity and exterminating the others, except instead of the Aryan race being the race that they believed to be pure and all others should be either subjugated or exterminated, they believed that Jews or people of alleged Jewish descent were the master race and all others.
Oh, I'm going to have to jump in here, Vinny, yep. Because I think that there is evidence not to support that. And this is exactly what I'd like to get into in terms of these words, because I believe that we have, they've slipped it to us in terms of Orwellian newspeak, and mm-hmm. they have basically indoctrinated us into thinking that words mean something other than what they really mean. And I would really like to address what you just said. First of all, I'd like to start off discussing what the word Zion means. Okay, here we are. We are on dictionary.com. Sorry, but that's all I have online right now. And we have here 5 definitions for the word Zion. 1 is a hill in Jerusalem on which the temple was built. 2, the Jewish people. 3, Palestine as the Jewish homeland and symbol of Judaism. 4, heaven as the final gathering place of true believers. And 5, a city in northeast Illinois, population 17,861. Okay, now, Zionism, according to, sorry, but I'm going to dictionary.com right now, and we'll go into other meanings for the word Zionism in a moment, but Zionism here is defined as a worldwide Jewish movement that resulted in the establishment and development of the State of Israel. And if you look back through history, Zionism was essentially a movement, an effort to establish a homeland for the Jews. So somehow or another, this word has now, it has gathered another meaning. It has actually now means, as you were just expressing a moment ago, you know, a master race of Jews. Now, I know a number of people who have moved to Israel as Jews wanting to live in the homeland. They could be considered Zionists because they supported, you know, and endorsed a Jewish homeland. In fact, they live there. Do they consider themselves a master race? No. This is another layer of meaning which I submit has been developed to create more antipathy, more Jew bashing, more hatred. Now,
I wanted to preface this as well, because that's the political belief of the elite. Okay, this that Zionism definition that I gave out, the cockroaches and all of that kind of stuff. And just like the scum rises to the top on any pond, okay, that's where the really gross stuff is, right here at the top, whereas most people are nowhere near the top. Most people, in terms of their understanding, in terms of their belief, they're right down here. And I remember when I was in high school learning about the Palestine-Israel conflict, and I was on the side of Israel because I was being taught that the Palestinians were terrorists and that they were dangerous and that they'd come in there after the fact, after the Jews had been removed from Israel by the Roman Empire and things like that. And I was thinking, man, the Jews should have a home state and all of that kind of stuff. And I actually still believe that. I still believe that people should have a place that they can call home. I mean, I'm a New Zealander, and I wouldn't be able to call anywhere home except New Zealand. And a whole lot of people have this belief that the state of Israel is their home as the Jewish state and what have you. My concern is, though, that one's love for one's home and one's nationalism can and does frequently turn murderous. And that's precisely what's happening in the state of Israel today. It is a state of murder, of white phosphorus, of nuclear technology, of police state measures, of it basically is, ironically enough, a state of Holocaust.
I agree with you. The policies of the state of Israel as manifested in the treatment of the Palestinians and many, many other issues are horrific. However, in a sense, I think the people who are talking about Zionism in a negative way are basically looking at the policies of the state of Israel. And I have no argument with you on that. However, what has happened because of this extra layer of meaning that word Zionism now has, that you are so aptly, expressing, what has happened is that this has again bled over into more indictment of the Jewish people. And in this sense, Zionism actually doesn't mean white phosphorus and a concentration camp for the Palestinians. Zionism means a movement to establish, political movement to establish a national homeland for the Jews. So what we're dealing with here is what do words mean, and how did that word Zionist, which means this movement for a homeland, how did it come to mean a responsibility for all of the evils of the world? And that is essentially now what the Zionist word has become a catchword for. You talk about a Zionist, you're talking about the worst people in the world. They're destroying everything, and they're destroying the environment. They're destroying the Constitution. And I actually know a fellow up in Canada, Victor Fletcher, who's a very anti-Zionist, who claims that the Zionists are stealing his newspaper. He publishes a little street newspaper. They're stealing it out of the newsstands. So the Zionists become, and really, I mean, the people who moved to create the state of Israel are now stealing Victor Fletcher's. Somehow, what we're seeing, unfortunately, is that all of the world's ills are now being bundled together and consumed in that word. And
have you noticed how every single simplistic understanding of any issue is always wrong? Always, okay? And Zionism, I think, is actually not a bad idea. You know, just have a nice state for the people of who have their own religion, they have their own racial backgrounds, etc. You know, there's many, what are there, 12 tribes of Israel, and none of them have a homeland of any kind. And in fact, they're not the only race in the world that doesn't have a homeland. I mean, think about communist Russia, for example, the Uzbeks, the Kazakhs and all of these other different races of people that were all brought together forcibly under the USSR. And I feel that that's actually very similar to what's happening to so many different races all around the world. And the thing is, we just know the most about Jewish misplacement. For some reason, I can't speculate as to exactly why that is. But
well, I think that's another issue that you just brought up. That this is something that has now gathered world attention, as to this particular Jewish issue. Whereas the other issues that you're bringing up, as to other peoples and other displacements, are somehow falling by the wayside.
Now that's inherently unfair to all the misplaced people. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Gilad, at his place the other day, and him and our mate Rocky were sitting there, and we were talking about genocide. And Rocky's from former Yugoslavia, and a lot of people got ethnically cleansed out there for being Muslims. And he made the point that, oh, but don't worry about my people getting exterminated because we've got a Jew here. Oh, the poor Jew. And I was just thinking, man, that's actually really quite poignant. The way he said it wasn't exactly understanding and all of that kind of stuff, but the implication of it is extremely interesting. Why is it that genocide, suppression, and displacement of people, the attention to solve those problems is disproportionately, and this is a literal fact, this isn't my opinion, that it is disproportionately leveled at the state of Israel and trying to correct those wrongs that happened so long ago? What about the wrongs that happen every single day? What about people who are displaced all day, every day, by the tyrannical actions of their own governments? We are all Palestinians in this world now, and especially those Jews who are what are called peaceniks, who refuse to serve in the Israeli military and actually stand up and face prison because they don't want to be part of an evil war machine. We'll be right back for hour number two. Just the virus, alert the masses.
Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
And Talk Radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated and Fukushima irradiated island chained nation of New Zealand. It glows in the dark, and everybody has a part time job as an incandescent light bulb by government mandate. Speaking of government mandates, diet, doctors, and health. This was something I wanted to allude to before we went to the break last time, but I didn't quite get the chance to squeeze it in. Your mind is like your body, okay? It's garbage in, garbage out, okay? If you're eating junk food, okay, you're going to get sick. Just like if you're consuming bad information or lies and you're not doing your own research and you're asking questions and not wanting to know the answer, like some people would say, oh, well, I believe in aliens, but why would they come here? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? What they're doing is they're asking questions to which they think there is no answer, and they think that that makes them intelligent by asking questions to which there is no answer and not actually seeking any fracking answers. That's stupidity. Okay, that's like eating junk food and going, man, this tastes really good, ergo it's good for me, as opposed to it's made of crap and that's going to process and make me feel like crap. It's the same thing, ladies and gentlemen. You're not healthy if you're not consuming decent quality information and processing it correctly. Just like when you're eating something, if you chew for several minutes, your body has to use a lot less energy in order to process that food and turn it into something that'll help you run better. Okay? It's the same deal. Get the good food. Get it fresh, preferably. Chew it very, very well. Mull over it. And then swallow it if it tastes good and is good. If it's not, spit it back out. Now, Zionism, like all good ideas, gets used by scumbags to manipulate good people into doing their evil deeds for them, okay? Now, when people get angry at Jews, okay, and they say that, oh, it's your Jewish blood that makes you evil and what have you, that's bloody eugenics, okay? Racial impurity based upon blood. That's fracking eugenics. So anybody, and I'm very serious about this now because it really ticks me off, anybody who says that the Jews and their blood are the ones responsible for all the world's ills is a eugenicist, or I've come up with a new name, a Jew-genicist, okay? A person who believes in eugenics. That there's such a thing as racial impurity, that blood cannot be changed, that as soon as you were born a Jew, you were obviously evil. That is insanity, okay? The elite believe in it lock, stock, and barrel, and they fund it lock, stock, and barrel as well. So if you are going around talking about that as if it's a fact when it's not, you are literally insane, okay? You're not sane anymore. You are a eugenicist. Just like the crazy elites are. And you know why the elites believe in eugenics? You know why they tell everybody else that they're scum? It's because they believe that they're gods and that everybody else is meant to be their servants. Okay? That is the source of insanity. One attempting to be divine when one is flawed and human. That is what is insane to me. And I don't want to ever go into any kind of mindset like that personally, because it's negative, it makes me unhappy. And quite frankly, I want to care about people, I want to serve, I want to love. I do not want to hate and attack, okay? If necessary, I will, okay? If there's a globalist speaking in Auckland or something like that, I'll show up and bullhorn them. I'll tell them that I'm not going to put up with their bull crap. Sure. But I'm not going to turn my entire life into a bubbling cauldron of hate because I believe something that I can't prove. That's the difference. Barbara, Janet, welcome back.
Hi, well, Vinny. I would like to just jump in for a second because I was very taken with that rap you just made. And I wanted to mention one of our very prominent members of the alternative media, Jeff Rentz. I had a conversation with Jeff some years ago in which he made a very startling statement to me. I was, during the course of the conversation, I was trying to persuade him to do a radio show about these corrupt guardianships and these corrupt courts and what they're doing to the elderly and disabled. And I made a comparison to Hitler's T4 program. T4 was the first extermination program launched by Adolf Hitler in which he targeted the elderly and disabled, just like what is happening under the nicer foo-foo sort of auspices to the elderly and disabled in these guardianship proceedings. So I made the Hitler reference, and Jeff Rentz's response was, Hitler wasn't such a bad guy. It would have moderated after a period of time. And I was just absolutely startled by this. And, of course, he did not put me on the air to discuss our current day T4 program up and running in the United States of America. And time went on, and there was some more contact and other things coming in via others and so forth from Jeff Rentz. And I decided to write an article about this experience with Jeff Rentz and also incorporate some emails from another person who was also in the media, who was also having similar experiences with Jeff Rentz. And lo and behold, he turned around and called me a Zionist. So, you know, this is one person, I think, who has a very prominent radio show, a very prominent website, who has really attempted to inflame the sorts of race hatred, religious hatred, whatever Jews are, a culture, a religion, a race, whatever Jews are, he has certainly attempted to inflame passion against them.
And you know what, Janet, yeah. I'd just like to add something. One of the regular guests on Jeff Rent's program is David Duke. And of course, David Duke is a white supremacist. He's a white separatist as well. He believes that each group of people should be separated. He doesn't believe in interbreeding, so to speak, between groups. And this is a regular guest now on Jeff Rents. And I think Jeff Rents is a very slick operator because he appears, if you listen to his programs, he actually sounds like a nice, reasonable guy, you know, and he even posted something on his website. Oh, we support the Jew. We support the Jewish people. We are only against Zionism. But he's a liar. He's just a liar.
Now, also another element that I wanted to bring in here was the fact that this whole Nazi ideology of hating the Jews and everything like that wasn't exclusive to hating the Jews. It was about persecuting all religions, all races, all infirmities within the human species. Basically, unless you were a believer and a member of the Nazi Party and a white boy, you're ripe for extermination. Unless you believe in what we believe, in which case we're going to use you. In fact, Hitler had a battalion of Jewish troops, didn't he? And basically, if in Nazi Germany, what were they? If you were disabled, mentally retarded, Jewish or Catholic or communist or any number of a huge
gypsy
range,
yeah,
basically.
Yep.
That's the insanity of it, because it preaches hate of everything. Now, here's the logical conclusion. What happens when you preach hate on everything? What happens to you? You become a hateful person. And what happens to a person full of hate? Everybody starts to hate them too, because they don't want to sit around being hated by them, do they? And so as a result, they get even angrier. This is what happens when you get your head down any particular rabbit hole. It's not exclusive to Jew bashing or anything like that. If you get down a rabbit hole and you focus singularly and deny everything else, this is all you can see. Just a tiny little bit through a telescope and you miss everything else. And it drives you nuts, okay? This is why I encourage people never to obsess, never to specify with their research and things of that nature, and to have a very wide range, because ultimately the thing that will stop you from becoming full of hate is understanding. I've met many people of many races throughout my years. New Zealand's a very multicultural society. You know what every single one of those people has in common, other than being an immigrant? They smile and they're happy. And they're generous and they're friendly. I will never hate anybody for having those characteristics.
Well, you know what, Vinny, your point is so well taken, because a lot of these neo-Nazi Jew haters, first of all, I mean, they're denying that the Holocaust even happened, okay? When in reality, you know, the American CIA, which was formed in 1947, you know, out of the old OSS, Office of Strategic Services. This was populated from the beginning with Nazi war criminals. That's who they were. And they had experimentation, mind control experimentation, eugenics experiments, all sort of abominations and atrocities, and they brought them right over here to this country, and it's still going on to this day. That was the beginning of MKUltra, for example. So people who are talking about, oh, the Nazis, Heil Hitler, you know, and all that. And Hitler was a noble warrior for truth. That was the statement made by this Mike Delaney, who runs a website called Zion Crime Factory. And, you know, then he has a thing on, it's on my website right now. If somebody goes to Barbara Hartwell versus CIA, there's a picture of Mike Delaney raising his middle finger, F the Jews, okay? And so it goes. It's down that road. So on one hand, they're denying the Holocaust. They're praising Hitler and National Socialism and all that. And they are completely ignoring these atrocities that are still going on to this day in this country. And all I can say about these people is they don't know what the hell they're talking about, Vinny. Okay? They don't know what they're talking about. I was there. I wasn't in Nazi Germany, but I was recruited into CIA when I was a young child. And who do you think I was dealing with? These rat bastard Nazis. That's who. I know who they are. I know what they are. Nobody's going to tell me different.
And speaking of which, my producer's put in some comments here. He says, I'm a Jew, but I'm not a Zionist. and it's the funny thing is because I know a lot of Jewish people. And like I said, with the other races of immigrants and everything, exactly the same thing. They're really nice, really cool, really generous, really friendly. Okay, and why, under any circumstances, would you try and attack people who are like that? Okay, because you get preconceived notions. I judge people based upon the content and quality of their character. Nothing more, nothing less. If you are a douchebag, I will treat you like a douchebag. If you are a cool cat, I will treat you like a cool cat. You decide how I treat you, okay? But what happens here with this whole bashing sort of thing, and this doesn't, it doesn't matter what you're bashing, okay? You could be bashing your government or anything else that I might agree on or disagree with. It doesn't matter. If your concept of how you live your life is about how you attack other people, okay, you're not living your life. You're full of hate. You hate yourself. There's something that has happened to you in your life that made you hate Jews, okay?
Can I just jump in for a second? I just want to say one thing that, you know, there. It is well known that Hitler had Jewish blood. So what was this really all about? Who was he really trying to kill? What part of himself did he find so unacceptable that he had to project this out onto the world? Thank you, Vinny. Thank you for letting me just jump in there for a second.
Well, it's important to, like I said before, and you've just hit it again, Barbara, is that it's all hypocritical eugenics. Okay, now eugenics is based upon survival of the fittest. That was manipulated. Instead of being survival of the fittest, it's exterminate the weakest. Okay, as opposed to everybody has a fair shot. I'm going to try and survive. You're going to try and survive. I'm not going to try and kill you. You're not going to try and kill me. Strongest survives. That's what the principle actually was about. But it was manipulated by the elite in their insane psychopathic minds that, hey, anybody who isn't like us with the same blood and everything like that is a cockroach and a slave and needs to be exterminated.
Well, Vinny, you know what else this brings to mind? We were talking about this on the break, and that is this scumbag, Pastor James Wickstrom. Now, this Mr. Wickstrom actually has a website where he states that those with any, quote, taint of Jewish blood will be damned for all eternity in hell by God Almighty. That's his mindset, yeah. Okay?
Can I ask you something?
What do you think of that, Vinny?
Well, it just made me think of something. Once the Nazis had exterminated all the Jews and all the other racially impure things, they're then going to turn to the next person to hate and kill, aren't they? Because they don't get over anything by getting rid of other people. You can only get over things by getting rid of terrible things within yourself.
Well, that's right.
Well, this brings up the concept of the shadow. which is something that was really well explored by C.G. Jung. I hear the music, so I guess...
And we can also explore the shadow after the break. The shadow of darkness coming down over Israel with the raining fires of weight of white phosphorus all over those naughty Palestinian children that are walking around with no shoes and going home to places where they can't cook or even have any clean water or anything like that. All their evil that needs to be exterminated. We'll be right back with the Dark Shadow Hour on the MidEastwoodShow.com.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah.
But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? And flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know move like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check. A 1-2 from a crew coming through. Where you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk. If you got to subscribe, ain't got nothing when I'm up in the lobby.
To the show that is, I'm not
the
one. Any
with the double bass.
And I can say that with supreme confidence. Because I'm 6'4", too big to fail. I'm a really cool guy. I'm really nice. I'm really friendly. And I help everybody that asks me if I can. Okay? Because I'm not a douchebag. And I feel that if you're given the gift of life, you can only truly pay that gift back in reparation by improving other people's lives in any way you can. That's why I don't preach hate or scumbaggery, or take the money, as the case may be, because I'm not a coward, all right? I accept responsibility for who I am. I understand that I'm a very flawed individual. Occasionally, I'll be really down on myself and hate myself, okay, for things that I've done in my life or things that have been done for me, or done to me, rather. But instead of projecting that hate onto others, I explore why it exists within me, and it becomes obvious fairly quickly that it's not me or anybody else that is to blame. Okay? I simply was angry. I don't know why I was angry, but I figured out that if I don't know why I'm angry, maybe I should stop being angry if I can't define it. And then all of a sudden everything becomes clear. Hey, hold on a second. I'm not actually angry with the government or anything like that. I was actually angry at myself. And that was why I was walking around all the time screaming 9/11 was an inside job or ambushing the Prime Minister or anything like that. It's because I wasn't actually taking responsibility for my own problems, for my own emotions. I was using the hate that I felt inside myself and projecting it onto others because I was too much of a coward to accept responsibility for my own actions, for how I felt. And what happens when you don't take responsibility is that you quickly as you can, you search for other people to put the blame on so you can alleviate yourself, take that pressure off. And the reality is you're not alleviating yourself of anything. You're just piling more and more neuroses onto more neuroses, okay? You're building your house on sand out of cards. It's a fracking stupid idea. And I stopped doing that. And you know what happened after I stopped doing that? I made a hell of a lot of friends really quickly too. I can make friends, best friends with people within an hour. And they'll be my good friend for the rest of their days because they can trust me. They know that I won't irrationally fly off the handle and accuse them of things that I have no evidence for or anything like that. They know that I'll willingly give up my time and my effort and everything like that to bring them on radio or to interview them on video and to get it up on the internet and all of that kind of stuff. Because you figure out very early on that if you wanted to do something good in your life, do something good. Don't try and attack all the evil things and whatever, because all you're going to do is wind up getting yourself stuck in the quicksand of self-loathing. Frack that. Now, you were talking before the break about the shadow. What is this?
Well, according to Jungian philosophy, the shadow is essentially the repository of within each of us of all that negative stuff that we have. Like, you know, none of us is perfect. We all have baggage, that, you know, that sort of thing. So what people tend to do is, because nobody likes to admit that they have warts on their psyche, what people tend to do is they find a group or a person and they project all of that internal stuff that they don't really like about themselves onto somebody else. It's a basic principle of psychology, and Jung sort of codified it and talked about the shadow. Now, people who do not accept, who do not understand that they have warts on their psyches, who do not accept that they actually have flaws, who are so uncomfortable with that fact, are generally going to find a scapegoat. And I'd like to talk about, just for a moment, for an example, I'd like to talk about Osama bin Laden as a shadow figure. And so essentially what the United States government did after they pulled this crappy attack on September 11th, and then after that the anthrax attacks, which killed even more people, is they found a shadow in which to deposit all of their evil. And that was this tall, sort of cadaverous and very foreign to most Americans' ways of thinking, you know, Muslim figure of Osama bin Laden. He was the boogeyman. Now, back in earlier decades in the U.S., we had other boogeymen. For a while, the Red Scare are you now or have you ever been, you know, a member of the Communist Party? We have to have an enemy, and that enemy mobilizes us to fight against him. So
I've seen the enemy, and the enemy is me. So if I try to find an enemy out there, he doesn't exist.
Well, I want to, you know, address some of the things you were saying a little bit, you know, earlier, where you were talking essentially, you know, about this psychological aspect, which, you know, essentially you were talking about the shadow, because evil does exist. And there are people out there who are, you know, predatory, murderous, and so forth. And I'm certainly not saying that we should not be aware of that and should not take caution to protect ourselves. What I'm saying is that when you deny the part of yourself that is, for lack of another word, negative, and you find a repository like Osama bin Laden, like, I'm just sort of blanking right now. This is terrible. I have the face in front of me, and I can't think of. Well, you just find the boogeyman, and then you just you rally the nation to fight against the boogeyman. When actually, let's get real, guys. United States government did 9/11. Okay, they did the anthrax attacks, and the purpose of all this was to rob the United States citizens of their civil rights, to start a preemptive war against U.S. citizens, and which was going to result probably in the next couple of years with mass casualties at home under very likely another biological weapons attack. I mean, and that's that in a nutshell. Okay. Now, but by taking all of this darkness and finding a person or a group, an Osama bin Laden, uh, a a Jew, okay, whatever, a black person, you know, whoever it is that you know, whatever tickles your fancy as a really bad example of humanity. By so doing, you know, what is happening is we're really being led over the cliff.
Now, as I was talking about the psychology, there's two things that people need to understand. One of them is a psychological term, and the other one is basically a game that's played by the elite. Firstly, cognitive dissonance. If you build up a worldview, and that worldview feels very real to you, like, for example, when I grew up, I felt that the police were honest, that voting worked, and that the government loved me and wanted to protect me. When I got arrested and the police lied, even after I admitted my guilt and even gave them evidence to convict me, and they still made evidence up, and the horrendous amount of cost and how all the elections seem to never go the right way and everybody who got elected, that worldview shattered. And it didn't shatter in a oh, isn't that cool, man? It's like it's something you just break a plate or something like that and you get a kind of a bit of a pleasure about it. No. Because you'd built up that worldview and it's become so much a part of you, it feels like you're breaking, okay? And it you feel real pain when you have to let go of those ideas that you held so dear, okay? That's what cognitive dissonance is. That's why when you come to explain to somebody something that challenges their worldview, they get angry or they get upset or they'll start attacking you, the messenger. That's why when you go on radio and you ladies talk about the things that you do, you become the focus of their attacks. They don't care. You realize that they don't actually care about Jew bashing anymore. They just hate anybody who supports Jews in any way, shape, or form. You know, and it's that whole hate over again. And the second concept I wanted to discuss was the Hegelian dialectic, the problem, reaction, solution. The scientific term to it is thesis plus antithesis equals synthesis. Okay, if you create a problem, let's say for example you print money exponentially, or you create a second world war. Okay, once people react to that big problem after they've been sufficiently living in poverty or have been sufficiently shelled and killed and what have you, then you can come in and you can propose virtually anything. And people will not only believe it, but they will ask you to quickly take away their rights, any remaining ones that they might have, and to solve these problems that them themselves actually created. So those two concepts are incredibly important, particularly when you're discussing subjects like this, because basically, because it's a very tender hooks thing, like I'm sure that I'll be called a Jew lover and all sorts of stuff. I'll be called an idiot. I'm prepared. Okay,
I want to say something here. After the show that Janet and I did, it was last week, I believe. It was Howard Nima, a Truth Talk News show, and it was about this same very subject. Well, one of the Jew haters, the actual Nazis, Heil Hitler, one of these guys, this Mike Delaney, actually put out a post saying three patriot Jews are appalled that people are waking up to the truth about the Holocaust or whatever. Now, I'm not Jewish, okay? So immediately I am labeled as a Jew. I've already been labeled in the past as a Zionist, simply because I have stood up against the Jew haters and the genocide. So now I'm not only a Zionist, but now I'm a Jew. Well, I can guarantee you that I'm not Jewish. So that
you're a Palestinian. We're all Palestinians now. You're a Palestinian.
Okay. But it just shows that it's like a flagrant form of insanity and stupidity. It's amazing.
No, it's a psychological defense mechanism. That's what cognitive dissonance does, and that's why they attack you without any thought or whatever. It's the difference between the cognitive response or a reptilian brain response. The reptilian part of your brain is the very simple part. It's the thing that reacts to threats, fight or flight mechanisms, response, things of that nature. When you can tell the difference between when somebody's having a reptilian response response to what you're saying, or if somebody's having a cognitive response. Here's the difference, and everybody should be able to relate to this. Have you ever said something to somebody, had you waited 10 seconds, taken three deep breaths, and do you think you would have said the same thing? Okay, that's the difference. So when you do attack me, and I'm talking to anybody who's listening here now on the archives later on or even live as we say, when you attack me, take 10 seconds, breathe three times before you do, and see if you say the same thing. And just know that if you say something different, it means that I'm challenging your worldview and that your brain is reacting to that challenge, okay? Not the facts, not the truth. It is simply reacting like an immune system to protect the lie that has been built upon.
And people are being programmed, basically, to accept certain constructs as true. And one of the constructs, and this is certainly not the only one, but one of the constructs is that the Zionists and the Jews, because there is such a small separation of difference. You know, we've talked about what these words actually really mean, Zionism. What people are being programmed to believe is that these people are evil, and these people are causing all of the world's problems. There are certainly a powerful Jewish people who are involved in the global conspiracy to oppress all of us.
Yeah, I mean, 9-11 is a classic case. 9-11 is a classic case of that. I mean, the amount of Mossad involvement alone just implicates the state of Israel hugely in 9-11, let alone all the other stuff inside the United States government, AIPAC, and all of these other things. There really is a problem, but it's not Jews as a people that are the problem. It's scumbaggery. It always has been. We'll be right back. I've become kind of impartial because I'm really good at, basically helping other people to see eye to eye kind of thing, you know? So I'm in a perfect position to discuss this, even though I'm going to get a hell of a lot of abuse for it for no reason. And mind you, this debate about Jews and Zionism and racism, Nazism or anything, it's a double-pronged idiocy debate, okay? Because there's Jews out there who are freaking stupid, who think that everybody who says anything about Jews at any point, any time, is a bloody Nazi, okay? And they're psychotic. Just as psychotic as the people who think that Jews are behind absolutely everything, okay? A Jew put fluoride in my water, a Jew sprinkled aspartame on my breakfast cereal, a Jew washed my window while I was waiting at the lights, and he didn't do a very good job, and the window was actually slightly dirtier after he washed it. You know, that kind of thing. That's how dirty Jews are. Don't fall into that trap, okay? And you know how you get out of, you know, supporting something that's not real? Is you talk to real people who actually are the people who you're allegedly attacking, okay? For example, my caller coming in now, Sid in Kentucky, who is technically a Jew. Sid, welcome.
Hey, Benny, tell me the names of your guests.
We have Barbara Hartwell and Janet Phelan.
And which one of your guests was the worked for the CIA?
It was you, Barbara, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
May I direct a response to her from something earlier she said, Vinny?
Go for your life, Sid.
Barbara, you were so right in what you said earlier. It's all about Nazis. We brought them into the country, and they have been running things pretty much the way they wanted to in every agency that they've been involved in, from NASA to the CIA to name your alphabet agency.
Yeah, so this is something we talked about over the break. This is something we talked about over the break, wasn't it, about Mossad involvement in 9/11, because there's also CIA involvement, FBI involvement, NSA involvement, DOD involvement. Okay, so what happens is, people don't know this, most people don't anyway, is that the intelligence agencies, state intelligence agencies, the bulk of them are actually mostly privately owned, okay? So it's not the state of Israel that actually controls Mossad. It's actually the Rothschild dynasty and all of their investments in it.
You know, Vinny, I told a group of people at another radio station that if we're going to be mad, let's be mad at the United Nations. Let's just all agree to be mad at the United Nations. And you know what they said? Well, seriously, they brought us, you know what? They brought us Agenda 21. They brought us the chemtrails. They brought us the wars. I mean, in the last few decades, you know, it's easy to point your finger at them. And do you know how I was brought? And you already know, Barbara, you know what was said to me. They're all Jews. The nonsense in that response is the cognitive dissonance that Vinny is talking about. I got to say this out loud. When truth is in the air, and I mean the airwaves, there's a sweet smell that lingers to the listener's ears. You ladies and Vinny, you all know this, that there's people receiving the truth, and they're smelling the sweetness in the air from what you say. There's some people that aren't, but it doesn't. You're not responsible for those people. You're responsible for the words and the truth that you speak. That's all you're responsible for.
Bless you, Sid.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys are totally rocking, and what a great show. Mr. Eastwood has been on a tear as of late, and I am so tickled to be his friend.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that I've got all these people all over the world that I can call my friends, you know?
Yeah.
I can imagine one day when I go traveling, I won't have to pay for accommodation, man. I'll have like umpteen different couches to surf in every city. This is actually part of my plan, basically, is to do really, really nice things for people in the first half of my life and then mooch off of them for the last half of my life.
Well, you better get me
similar from parenting.
Vinny, you better get me sooner than later. You know, I'm a 60-year-old man, so, you know, and being that the scumbags are trying to off us, you know, you just never know. And I say that with joy. I don't care what they do. I don't care. I care that we out them. I do care about that. As a human being, I depend on a divine intervention on things that are bigger than me. I don't have a choice. It's bigger than me. Bigger than you and me. But together, and we put our minds to things, and we get the word out on these dirt bags. I'm trying to be nice. And that's the nicest I can be.
Mention as well is that always try to keep an open mind about everything. Like, and to illustrate my point, I have a YouTube video here that's going to load up, and I'm going to watch it after the show today. It's a four parts. I think they're 18 minutes apart. Holocaust, Gas Chamber Deniers on Donahue Show, 1994, David Cole and Bradley Smith. So I'm actually going to watch and listen to Holocaust Deniers. Okay, and people who are Jew bashers. Not because I am one, because I want to just reinforce my current existing beliefs, so that's a bloody waste of time in my opinion, but because I want to know what I'm talking about. Okay? If you are a Jew basher or anything like that, try listening to this show. If you heard something that you haven't heard before, then you learned something, didn't you? And knowing that you're wrong is a good thing, because it means you can fracking learn something for a change instead of being right all the time.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm starting to get kind of feeling bulletproof in myself. Like, you know how sometimes people get really arrogant because they think that they're right? And anybody who says that they know that they're right sounds even more arrogant. Okay? I, on the other hand, think that I'm wrong about everything. And I'm simply looking for the evidence that either proves that I'm wrong or doesn't prove that I'm wrong. okay? But my assumption will still remain the same. Even once new information comes to light, I'll assume that that's still wrong and keep looking for even more evidence. When you stop listening, when you shut out information, you become stupid. Information has no intention. It's simply a fact, here or there, a factoid, if you will. If you, on the other hand, base your entire life upon only one strain of facts and you've never seen the counter-argument, you're not going to get any smarter, because you only get smarter by wanting to know and learning things that you don't already know. Okay? Otherwise, you're simply reinforcing the same old crap and you'll be the same person 10 years from now that you were 10 years ago. Stop it. Open yourself up. There are 7 billion people on the planet. Why would you want to spend your time with anyone who doesn't enlighten you, inform you, inspire you, or care about you? That's my philosophy. There's plenty of people out there who are good. Why would I ever want to waste my time listening to or hanging around with people who aren't? Okay? Because I'm not going to learn anything from them, because they've long since decided to stop learning themselves. And that's why they get bitter. That's why they get angry, because they know at some base level that they're really missing out on everything that's good in life. And I'll never, ever, if I can help it, turn into that person. And hopefully nobody else will either. Right, well, we only have a few minutes left in the show. So if there's anything you ladies would like to touch on before we go, I mean, perhaps the 9/11 thingy or whatever, or final words of wisdom, go for your life.
Go ahead, Janet.
Oh, well, I think that... all this hate speech that is being disseminated through the shills in the alternative media has an end point. When you demonize a group of people, whether they're Muslims, whether they're Jews, whoever they are, when you mount a concentrated effort to demonize a group of people, it's usually for a purpose. And we launched the demonization of the Muslims, and we are now attacking those countries. And the demonization that is also going on concerning the Jews, I think, is going to end up in a scenario with which a lot of people do not expect. And
the New World Order won a Third World War, and in prophecy it said that the Third World War will start in Israel. And I know that they love prophecy, and they love trying to make it come true, so it makes everybody bow down to them kind of thing, like, oh, they're the guys, they're prophetic. So what they do is they just instigate war and hate and despicable crap going down in Israel so that the prophecy will come true. It's not rocket science. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I would just like to mention very quickly, if I could, I recently...
need you to plug your websites real quick.
Yeah, I'd like to say I recently had an article published, Is 2013 the Real 2012? And I deal with a lot of these issues in the article. You can find it on my website, which is janetthalen.com. So thank you, Vinny.
You're welcome. Barbara, what's your website there? This show doesn't work very well without a plug. It's like
okay,
a button.
It's Barbara Hartwell versus CIA. Just put that into a Google search and you'll find it.
All right. Janet Phelan and Barbara Hartwell, two very lovely ladies. Thank you also to Sid for calling in from Kentucky. Lots of chat in the chat room here. Thank you very much to all of the people who stayed in there the whole way through. In fact, we had a busier chat room today than normal. Maybe this subject is very, very interesting to people. I found it very interesting. Okay, we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you go exterminate a race of people while I'm gone.